this week, what I want to talk to you about has to do with, you know, we got Valentine's Day coming up and all of that. What great of a time to talk about the love of God. And what I want to do today is I want to reference two portions of Scripture, okay? And I want to look at, we'll look at a kind of a unique angle for just a moment in Judges chapter 14, and then we're going to flip over to 1 Corinthians 13, where we find out a lot about love and what God's Word has to say. You know, the world is going to do its best to try to define what love is. Have you found that to be true? They're going to tell you what they think love is. They're going to tell you what they think relationships should look like. And what I want to challenge you with today is just understanding not just God's heart, but let's learn from the Word of God what He has to say about love. We'll learn a couple of points that I want to share with you. And then I want to give you just some of the warning signs to look for when it comes to the world trying to redefine what they think love should be. Because it always comes back to God. It always comes back to Jesus. You know, in this world, we're going to spend a lot of time hearing the world try to define what love is all about. We make movies about it, what love is, right? You know, all of the Hallmark channels, right? You know, and they'll tell you what love is, and it should look like this, which almost every movie starts off with boy meets girl, you know. Boy chases girl. Boy falls down or messes up, gets back up, and wins her love. You know, I've pretty much identified all the movies right there. We write songs about it, and there's so many. I just went through, and I was writing a few down. I'm like, there are a lot of them. You know, we try to write about songs. If you grew up in my genre, Phil Collins would tell you that there's a groovy kind of love, right? Love is much more than just groovy, okay? There's much more to it. Howard Jones titled his What Is Love? Mr. said, Is It Love? Van Halen said, When It's Love? Whitesnake said, Is This Love? Air Supply said, They're all out of love, and they're so lost without you, right? But then their very next song was, They're lost in love. Somehow they found it. If you want to go back a little further, you can take it back to the 70s and go to the Carpenters, who tried to say, Love will keep us together. Do you remember that song? Yeah, you're kind of dating yourselves now, aren't you? Or here's one that always got me. You ever hear a jingle or a song that gets in your head and you just can't get rid of it? You know? Let me take you back to when I was a kid, turned TV on. One of the shows that we watched a lot, or that I watched a lot, was The Partridge Family. After you watch The Partridge Family, you're going to have some weird songs stuck in your head that they were singing. But The Partridge Family, David Cassidy, who was the lead singer, sang a song, I Think I Love You. And I thought, what a weird title for a song. I don't know how I would feel if Lisa came up to me and she goes, I think I love you. Well, we've been married 31 years. I hope you know by now, right? You know, this world's going to write songs, make movies. What it's going to do is try to define what love is. It's going to tell you that love is something that you feel, right? And there's nothing wrong with the feelings of love. But when that becomes the base, or that becomes your foundation, you're building on a very shaky foundation. Because what happens when you don't feel the love anymore? We start feeling like our relationships are in jeopardy. So what I want to do is I want to attempt this morning to just kind of, let's take some time and find out what God's Word has to say. Now, we're going to get to 1 Corinthians 13, but sometimes you can learn not just by what people have succeeded in doing, but you can also learn from people who have failed as well, right? You can watch them and see how they did it wrong and be like, okay, that didn't work for them, so don't go down that road. And the thing is when we can learn from both the good, the bad, and the ugly, we become better all around. But we've always got to bring it back to the Word of God. So when I share with you this morning about relationship, or I share with you about love or what that means, we're talking about God's love, but the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, right? And then the second is just like unto it. What is it? Love your neighbor as yourself. It's about loving God, and it's about loving others. So when I share with you today, it may challenge us in some areas, but it's never meant to be a source of a condemnation, and we've got to know the difference. You got to know the difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation is always going to tell you you did it wrong. Condemnation is going to say you failed again. Condemnation is going to say, when are you going to get it together? The enemy comes and brings condemnation. We're very familiar with that. But the Holy Spirit, what he does is he brings conviction. And he speaks to you in a gentle way what the truth is so that you're able to receive it. And you've got to know the difference. Condemnation comes from the enemy. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. And it shows you the best that God has for you in this life. He's always wanting to reveal what love is all about, but we've got to make sure we know the difference between condemnation and conviction. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit descended like a what? Do you remember? A dove, not a hawk. It says the Holy Spirit comes like a dove. He's gentle. He hovers. He'll guide. He'll lead. A hawk just dives down and takes what it wants. That's the difference between a condemnation and a conviction type of way. And it's condemnation that drives us away from God, where conviction draws us near to God. And so we cannot forget the difference. We got to remember that. And we must not forget that many times in life when we make mistakes, because how many of you know that we make mistakes, right? The question is when you make mistakes or you have missteps in your life, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to let there be corrections in your life? Because God's love is so great, the Bible says, that it covers a multitude of sins. So when you think that you have screwed up so much or done so awful or fill in the blank, God's love says, I cover all of that. There's never so much that you can do wrong that he can't cover because his love is so great. So we must not forget this. We don't forget when we make mistakes. We don't forget that we're Christians. We just forget that we're human. We forget sometimes that we will mess up, and we forget sometimes that we will make mistakes. And I want to introduce you to a man in the Bible that it might sound kind of odd learning from him, but it's a principle of love, and it's a man named Samson. Samson in the Bible, you remember Samson and Delilah, right? But what we don't talk about a whole lot, and we're not going to talk about a whole lot today, but it helps us understand his reference point. It was built on what he wanted. It was built on what looked good. It was built on what looked shiny. It was built on how he felt. And it says that he wanted to get married. He saw a woman that looked nice to him. So he told his dad, go get that woman for me. Now, you as parents here, how many of you would feel good if your kid came up and said, hey, that woman looks good over there. Go get her for me, right? We'd be like, get back in your room. Now, their culture was a little different where they would marry people off, but here's what it says in Judges chapter 14. It said, Samson went down to Timnah, saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among our people that you go and take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she looks good to me. Now, isn't that how it always starts when something goes bad? When we just go for the thing that looks good to us. You know, I want that car. I want that house. I want that spouse. I want that whatever. And if we don't understand a proper definition of what love is, we'll try to get our needs met in illegitimate ways. Because God is ultimately our need meter. Amen? He's the one that provides. He's the one that, because of his great love, gives to us. But anytime we lose that definition of what love is, we short circuit God's best and we try to get things done in our own strength and in our own power and in our own ways. That's what he was doing. As a matter of fact, if you were to go back and look at Samson, you'd see that he got married and then he got involved with other women. Eventually he met Delilah and it led to his downfall. He did not understand this great love that God had. He didn't lean into that. He was leaning into getting his own need met. And you and I, we have to be careful that we don't do the same, but that we return to God's definition of love. We got to return to God's definition of what love really is and what it's all about. And remember that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to lead us. He's going to guide us. He may at times correct us. How many of you, you know, and you don't have to raise your hands to this, but how many times can you remember when the Holy Spirit corrected you? You know, you did something, you didn't necessarily mean to do it if it was wrong, but then you felt that tug in your heart. That's the Holy Spirit, and he corrects you because he loves you. That's why. It's because of his great love. So we've got to return back to that definition of understanding this great love that God has for us. Because if we don't, and we just live life based off feelings. How many of you have ever known somebody? We'll just pick on the people we know, not ourselves. But known somebody that lived life based on how they felt. It may go good for a little while, but it almost always crashes because they don't understand the true foundation. What happens is boy meets girl and they get all Google-eyed and they like each other and they try to build a relationship based on what they defined as love, but you got to define it on what God says. And it's His love that builds a strong foundation. And it will develop you as you mature and as you grow and as you feed yourself so that you will be able to have an understanding of that great love that God has for you. So not only will you receive what God has for you, but you'll be able to give that same love to others. And it's the kind of love that builds lasting relationships. We're not just talking about marriages. We're talking about a relationship with our kids. We're talking about a relationship with our friends here at church. We're talking about our coworkers that we work with, that as we build relationship, how can we love them? Well, you do that through the love of Christ. How many people do you know in your life that you love them, but you just might not like them very much? You know what I mean? I love them, but how can I have that kind of a love? That kind of a love you can only give when you first received. You've got to receive that kind of a love. Because what we'll find out is no matter how much you try to fake it till you make it, that little bullet in your outline, write this down. You can teach what you know, but you ultimately reproduce who you are. You can teach what you know, but you ultimately will reproduce who you are. You know, you can teach somebody till the cows come home, but if they're going to do what they want to do, they're going to do it. There's something to be said about the fact that knowledge is good. Knowledge is important. Don't get me wrong. Academia, it's good. It's important. But you ultimately will always reproduce who you are. You can get angry at one another. You can yell at one another. You can tell each other what to do, but you're ultimately going to reproduce who you are. And so we've got to be very careful and make sure we've got the right definition of love so that what's being passed down in generation to generation is an understanding of what true love is really all about. Remember, the Bible says the sins of the father, they get passed down to the third, fourth generation. That's because they're watching. They're watching what you do and they're reproducing what is being done. I've said before, kids are like video cameras with legs, right? They walk around and they watch what you do. You can tell them, don't do this, but if you do it, they will do it. Why? Because they watched you do it. And so God showed the ultimate sacrifice when He sent His Son Jesus to die for you and me. He said, I love you so much that what I want you to see is that I love this world so much, I'm willing to send my Son to die on a cross for you. He not only said it, but He did it. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. So be very careful. Teach your children. Teach the others that are in your life. But know that you will ultimately reproduce who it is that you are. So Solomon gave some advice in Proverbs. I'm going to make reference to it, but I'm not going to hang out here very long. He said, under three things the earth quakes, and under four it cannot bear up. He said, one of them was an unloved woman when she gets her husband. And I used to struggle with that verse. Used to ever read a verse and you go, what does that mean? I don't understand it. Ultimately, what he was saying was this. He was saying, when there's a relationship and love is absent and needs are present, if you don't get the right definition of love, you will spend your life looking for love in all the wrong places. You will spend your life looking to meet your needs apart from God. So make sure that you understand this. If you have a craving and a need to be loved, and you compromise, then you'll start saying things like, well, anyone will do. Or I'll start to compromise in other areas. You'll compromise in your relationship with God. If you don't place Him first in your life, and if you don't feed that relationship, then what happens is this. You start saying, well, if I'm not spending time with God to find my worth, then I'm going to start trying to find it in other people. That's why we must place God first. Because God says that we are very valuable. Amen? He has a plan and a purpose for your life, as you'll find out in just a moment. And He says there's a great price that He paid because of His great love. And if you go through life feeling unloved, like Solomon's talking about, you'll compromise. You'll cut corners. You'll take shortcuts. You may even violate your own faith, knowing what's right, what's wrong, but there's this great need to be loved. Forgetting the fact that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever He says, anybody, my love is there for each and every one of us. He says that if we would just embrace that. So then I thought, well, that's why Solomon said there's a danger to this. The danger is if we have the wrong definition of love, nothing else will do. And we'll start looking for it in the wrong places. So let me give you just a couple points. How do you get yourself ready for this kind of a relationship? Or how do you prepare your heart to have this right definition of love? Now, this is where I want to flip over to 1 Corinthians for a moment. There's no greater book in the Bible, no greater chapter in the Bible that I can think of right now than 1 Corinthians 13 when it talks about love. What is love? If I were to ask you today, what is love? You know, we'd probably get so many different definitions because love is one of the, I've said this before, but it's one of the most misused and abused words in our society today. You can say, I love chocolate cake and I love my wife, but they should mean something different, shouldn't they? If you're married, you better say yes, husband. She's sitting next to you in elbow striking distance. There's a difference. You can love baseball games and I love my children. There should be a different level of love that's going on, that's happening there. And so how do we get ourselves ready and help cultivate and define this love in our life? It boils down to the greatest commandment that we said earlier. You love the Lord, you love others. But you can't love others the way that God intended you to unless you first love Him. Because if you love others with your love, it will fall short. But if you love others with the love that God gave you, it will succeed. Why? Because His love covers that multitude of sin. His love is so gracious. His love is so patient and kind, as we'll find out in a moment, that all of a sudden when people see Him in you, what they're actually seeing is Him, not you. They're seeing that love that's there. So the first thing we have to do is this. Number one, develop such a healthy relationship with God that Jesus becomes more than enough. I'm not saying you don't have a relationship with God. I'm asking the question, are you developing it? Are you developing and working at it at a healthy relationship? Are you working at growing? Here's the thing about growing. I liked growing when I was a kid. When I was, you know, short and tiny and all that, man, I can't wait to grow up, right? But how many of you know that when you start growing, pain comes with that, right? Growing pains. And it's uncomfortable and we don't like it, but it's necessary if we're going to grow. Anytime you grow, excuse me, there's going to be a stretching that occurs. I used to have this toy growing up. It was called Stretch Armstrong. Anyone remember him? I loved that guy. And it was our goal as children to stretch him until he snapped, right? You could grab one arm, my friend would grab the other, and we'd start walking as far as we could. That thing would never break. You'd have to have a knife or have it had to have some flaw or weakness in it. We'd have Stretch Armstrong all stretched out, and then two other guys would grab the legs and pull him out. You let him go, and he'd always eventually come back to where he was designed to be. In life, as you grow, you're going to feel sometimes that stretching. You're going to feel at times that you tried to do the right thing, you tried to go this direction, you thought it was the right path, only to find out it might not be the right path. You got a choice in that moment. And this is where condemnation and conviction come into play, by the way. Condemnation says, you're an idiot, you did it again. Conviction just says, why don't you just back up and we'll just take another try over here. You know? There's so many times in life where I've made poor choices. How about you? Yeah, nobody wants to admit to that, do they? But the truth is we make poor choices a lot. But because of the love of Christ, He says, I'll come and I'll as you develop that healthy relationship, you'll find that God's love is more than enough. And when you find that God's love is more than enough, then no matter what you go through, no matter what you face, no matter what challenges come your way, God will be there for you. You know, one of the names of God is Yahweh, which simply means He's more than enough. He's more than enough. He's the one that, at some point, I want to do somewhere where we go through the names of God, and we learn about how He's our provider, He's our protector. And there's so many ways that God provides His love for us. But it starts with us developing a healthy relationship with God. Now, let me take you over to 1 Corinthians 13, and here's what it says about love. We've heard it before, but let's run it through the filter of our hearts right now. Wherever you're at in your walk with Christ, whatever's going on in your life, This is what God has to say to us. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am what? You know what this says? I am nothing. I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Let me just stop there for a moment. It says right here that you can have all of the gifts in life. You can have a big fat bank account. You can have the prettiest house. You can have the most awesome family, whatever, according to what the community says or whatever. But if you have love, if you don't have all of that but don't have love, you have absolutely nothing. You've missed the point. He says it's all about love. It's all about a relationship with Jesus Christ. In that relationship, it's not that God's wanting to change you because something's wrong. It's he loves you for who you are, and he wants to develop you into that healthy relationship that he has for you. He says, you can have all the goods. You can feed the poor. You can serve in community this and community that. But if you have not love, you've missed the point. He also says you can offer your body to be burned. And I thought, oh, why would anyone want to offer that? He's talking about you can sacrifice all of these things in your life. But if you have not love, you've missed it all. You've gained nothing. And then he goes into verse 4 and he starts telling us what love is. And what I want to do, I'm going to read it and then I'm going to go back through it a moment. But I want you to just think about this. What is love? What is love in your life? Where is God speaking to you? Because he says this. He says that love suffers long. And love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It doesn't behave rudely. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. It endures all things. And then the beginning of verse 8 says, love never fails. Now, if we are going to work on a relationship and develop such a healthy relationship with God that becomes more than enough, that doesn't mean that this is our list and we have to now become perfect before God can accept us or love us. No, he says, I love you right now where you're at. I accept you for who you are. And as you grow in your relationship with Jesus Christ, think about that. Who's long-suffering? He says, that's a quality that you give. Kindness, that's what love is. You know, one of the things I believe that we're missing in this world right now is kindness towards one another because there's an absence of the love of God. And I'm not saying that we don't love God. I'm just saying that people would rather look out for themselves more than they would look out for others because they don't have that love of God. And so therefore, you can be shopping at a store. I've met some, that's where you meet some of the most unkind people, right? Looking for the parking spot or getting the shopping cart or whatever and rub people the wrong way. It says love does not envy. That's a question we got to ask ourselves. Where in our life have we been envious? And wanted what somebody else had. Love does not parade itself. It doesn't parade itself. I don't know about you, but I can think of times in my life and I can think of people in my life that have leaned into that. It's not puffed up. When I was a teenager, that was my name, right? Because I'm all that. But I was puffed up. It was an arrogance that was there. I didn't understand what it meant to really have that love of God at that time. It says it does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. Have we experienced in our life areas where maybe we go, there's some areas where I've really struggled with that. Here's another one. Thinks no evil. We could do a series on that one right there. Because remember, you may not be able to stop a thought from coming through your mind, but you can decide whether it's going to stay there or not. There's times when I've had just silly thoughts that go through my head, and I thought, man, I must be a really horrible person to have thought that thought. But I'm not. What makes it a problem is when I give that place an address. I give it some residence and I let it stay there. And the Word of God says, no, that's not the way it is. The love of God thinks no evil. So I choose in those moments. You must choose in those moments to say, Lord, those thoughts I give to you. It does not rejoice in iniquity. Have you ever struggled with that one? I know nobody's going to raise their hand, and I don't want you to. But, you know, you maybe have struggled, and all of a sudden, why are they getting that, or why did this work for them? And then all of a sudden, you know, you see something going on with somebody else, and you struggle with that. That's an inner thing. But it says what love does is it rejoices in truth. And that's what it's all about. It's about truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. Love is never going to fail. But the love that's not going to fail is the love that God gives, not the love that you and I come up with, not the love that the world has to offer, not the love that we see on TV or hear on radio stations. It's the love of God. It's always going to be about the love of God. So we must come back to this place of redefining what love is all about, because when you develop that kind of a love in 1 Corinthians 13, then that kind of a love, it will be more than enough. You won't have to look for love in all the wrong places. You won't have to go and try to make something happen or develop something on your own, because God will give that to you because of the love that He has for you. He will provide for you. God is more than enough. And He desires to give you gifts. Did you know that? Did you know that God wants to give you gifts? Did you know that God wants to bless you? He wants to bestow that upon you. But I remember a lot of times my mom and dad would go away on trips, and when they come back, they would... two things happened. They would get me a gift. First, it was I expected them to get me a gift. That was part of the unspoken arrangement, right? If you're going to leave and go on a trip and you're going to make me stay here and suffer this babysitter, then I better be getting a present, right? Now, that wasn't said verbally, but it was something that was in my mind. So mom and dad would come back with a gift, and they'd have a gift for me. And I learned this one. I remember this. He'd come back and he'd have two gifts. One would be bigger than the other. And he'd say, which gift do you want? You know, when I was younger, I always went for the bigger gift. But I learned as time went on to go for the smaller one, because sometimes that one had the greater gift in it. You know, sometimes God, when He gives you a gift, He says, I want to give you a gift. And there, you don't have to worry about, oh, there's some expectation I have that God better give me a gift if I have to, you know. No, God says He's already given them to us. They're there for us for the taking, but it's only in a relationship where there's love, His love, present in that relationship. And it doesn't matter big or small, but sometimes I've found that some of the smaller gifts God gives me are some of the best gifts I've ever received. One of them being love. Understanding what it means. Let me tell you this, this isn't in your outlines, but love is a choice, okay? It's not a feeling. Love is not something you go, oh man, I got the butterflies and I'm all, look at goosebumps. He must be the one, right? That's feelings. That's emotions. Love is a choice. Now, having said that, I'm not saying go find somebody you don't get along with and say, well, I choose to love them. Let's see if this will work. Now, I do not advise that. I'm saying that whether it be in a relationship, or maybe it's going to be tomorrow when you go to work, how can you love your coworkers? Well, if you try to do it on your own and in your own strength, it's probably going to be hard. But if you are developing a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ in your life, He becomes more than enough so that when you go to work, you can have that kind of a love to give to others. That's the kind of love. But it starts with us. We've got to develop that within our lives and within our hearts. It must start there. But God has so many gifts He wants to give you. He wants to give to you. He wants to give to you. He just wants to hand them out and present them. And the only thing that might be hindering us is having a wrong definition of love. Because I'll tell you what, if my mom and dad came home with those gifts and I was at the front door stomping my foot, where's my gift? Which maybe sometimes I didn't do it that, you know, bluntly, but, you know, hey, mom, dad, hi, you know, did you get me something? Right? But let's say they gave me something and I opened it up. And when I opened up the gift, I went, oh, thanks. That's stupid. I don't want that. How much do you think they're going to, you know, appreciate that and want to get me a gift the next trip, right? And if we can understand how that works in homes and in families and in relationships, even beyond that, God says, my love still never, ever fails. But He wants a loving relationship, one that is growing, one that is developing. And that will bleed through in our lives then. When we have that kind of a love and we know that we're loved just based on Jesus alone, then we can give that kind of a love to other people. you can be able to relate to them. All of a sudden, as I've said, people, when they see you, they don't know it, but it's not you that they see. It's the Jesus in you that they see. And they become drawn to. And they become attracted to. Now, let me say this. Number one, and when we're talking about what is love, yes, you got to develop a healthy relationship with God so that Jesus becomes more than enough. But let me say this, too. When it comes to relationships here on earth, number two, write down, develop healthy relationships with people of the same gender. Why would you say that? For this reason and this reason alone. If we can't learn to have healthy relationships with people that are of the same sex, how are we ever going to have healthy relationships with people of the opposite sex? If we can't learn to develop healthy friendships and relationships, if we can't develop an understanding of what it means to have a relationship as friends, I'm talking about friendship that goes beyond, you know, the sophomore, junior high kind of giggles and this and that, and you know, the whatever it is girls do when they get together. I'm not even going to open that can of worms about what y'all talk about. But I'm talking about friendships and relationships that can last and that can endure. We must work at that. It starts with building a healthy relationship with God, but then also building a healthy relationship with others. And I encourage you, guys, find other guys that are, you know, you can build relationship with. Ladies, find other ladies that you can build relationship with so that we can complete that whole understanding of what it means to love God and love others. And when we understand how to love others with that kind of a love, moving into any kind of a future relationship with the opposite sex just becomes natural then. And it's something that we can embrace. It's a gift that God gives. But he says, in those relationships, make sure that you treat them all with purity. God has such a high value on relationships. Did you know that? He has such a high value. That's why he put in 1 Timothy, treat your younger men like brothers, treat your older women like mothers, and your younger women like sisters. Three key words right there. In all purity. In other words, the relationship is what matters most. Have a respect and a relationship that's developed within those boundaries of a relationship. And if you can do those two things, then health starts to come. You start to understand what it truly means to walk in the love of Christ. Now, the world is going to try to give you a different definition. It's going to try to mislead you. It's going to try to misguide you. And I know you probably looked at the outline already and thought, uh-oh, he's got a zinger coming up here. But I put down that acronym TARE, Steps to an Affair. And what I simply mean by that is this. When I'm talking about an affair, you know, everyone understands what the world means, but do you understand that when we're talking about an affair, it's a relationship that's become distant and is looking for another source to meet its need? How many of you know that can happen in your relationship with God? You can have a distance in your relationship with God that all of a sudden you get to a place where because of that distance, you start looking to anything else but God to meet that need. So whether it be in relationships, you know, like we're talking friendships or dating relationships, or even in our walk with Christ, be very careful. I'll use this acronym called TARE. These are warning flags to look out for. And it starts with T is thoughts. Watch your thoughts and be careful of your thoughts. And know this. This is why in Jeremiah he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Remember that? In the Bible, he says, thoughts of peace, about a future, and about a hope. He said, don't let your mind wander and think about what you aren't. I want you to look at what you are. I don't want you to think about what you don't have. I want you to start looking for what you do have. Now, we can understand how that happens in a relationship with others, but it can happen in a relationship with God, and they should both be warning flags. Be very careful. On the relationship side, yes, be careful when you start wandering thoughts about people and thinking that way, but be very careful how that plays out in your relationship with God as well. The E is, write down the word, emotions. Be very careful there. Philippians 4 tells us that we're to be anxious for nothing, right? But through prayer and supplication, the Bible tells us that if we seek the Lord, that the peace of God will come. The peace of God will be your guide. How many of you would like the peace of God, the Holy Spirit, to guide you through every difficult situation in life? Well, I think we could all raise a hand and then another. We all want that. And he says, I make it available to you. But sometimes when emotion gets stirred, we try to fix things on our own. You ever try to fix things, you know, because, you know, you just want to try to do it in your own strength? You got to be very careful. When you move into that area of emotion, God says, my peace will guide you. So when you start getting anxious in your life, that should be a warning sign. Flag should go up. When you start maybe in the relationship side, you know, the emotions, I start entertaining the thought, you know, that should be a warning flag. It happens on both sides, because then it leads to the next acronym or the next letter A, which is affair. And again, what I mean by affair is this: the relationship that's become distant because it's looking for another source to meet its need. Proverbs tells us that a man who has a friend must himself be what? Do you remember? Friendly. If you want to be a friend, you must be friendly. But then it goes on to say, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When you feel that there's a distance in your life, I want you to know this: because of the love of God, you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You have somebody that will walk with you and talk with you and lead you by the power of His Holy Spirit. But you've got to be willing to say, Lord, here I am. I'm in this place, and I feel like there's this distance. And you come close to Him. The Bible says that when you draw near to God, He does what? Draws near to you. He draws near to you. So that the distance is no longer so wide. Now it's getting closer and closer. So that should be a warning sign. And then the last letter is one of the most dangerous ones, but it's when we rationalize. It's when we rationalize. We start saying things like, well, I deserve it, or, you know, I'm a Christian, so I mean, you know, I mean, got that on my side. We start making excuses. We start making judgment calls. And he tells us in Matthew 11, he says, come unto me. When you feel like you're in a place that you're making excuses and I just got to have all the answers, he says, no, don't do that. Don't try to fix it. Don't try to correct it. When you feel like there's a distance, he said, my love covers all of that. Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, another translation says, I will give you peace. It'll be his peace that guides you. It'll be his peace that leads you. And it's a peace for your soul, the Bible says. So that's where it comes into the mind, the will, the emotions. He says, I will lead you and I will guide you. So don't let this be something you do alone. Let the love of God permeate every area of your life so that we understand this great love that God has for us. You know, when it boils down to the end, you and I get to choose, right? We get to choose whether we're going to serve the Lord or serve the world. We get to choose whether we're going to love with the love of God or whether we're going to love with the love of man. But one will lead you to success and one will just lead you astray. The choice is ours. I'll close with a little poem I heard, and maybe you heard it too. If you've been doing the Bible recap, about a month ago, we were in Genesis. Jacob and Esau, they were kind of warring against one another. And somebody wrote this little poem based upon that. And just four lines, and it says this: two natures beat within my breast, the one who's foul and the one who's blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, but the one I feed will dominate. You and I have this battle that's going on inside of us. The one you feed is going to be the one that grows. So my question to you this morning is, knowing that God loves us with such a everlasting love, are you feeding that relationship? Because it's that kind of a love. It doesn't matter what sins you've committed. It doesn't matter how long you've been away from God. It doesn't matter if you've been walking with the Lord but haven't done anything. He says, would you just come back into my presence and allow that distance to be closed, so that you can experience a new level of intimacy, a new level of closeness like you've never experienced before. But at the end of the day, the choice will always be ours. He says, my love is perfect. My love is pure. And if you'll receive that, it will lead you and guide you through all of the mayhem that the world has to offer, because His love never fails. Amen. So I ask if you pray with me, and we just ask the Holy Spirit. Lord, will you search our hearts right now and try our ways? Will you show us if there's anything inside of us where we've gotten away from you, where we've gotten distant from the presence of your Holy Spirit? We've been wanting and expecting a gift. And Lord, all you've asked us to do is to walk in that love. Lord, we thank you for the gifts that you do give us. But Lord, we're asking now more than anything else that you would help us to understand what it means to walk in the love of Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much for loving us with a love that our minds cannot even comprehend or understand. But yet it's there. And Jesus, we thank you so much that you first loved us and you were willing to lay down your Son for us. Forgive us, Lord, for the times we've taken that for granted. And Lord, where we've become distant or where we've become comfortable and just kind of maybe at bay just a little bit. You never designed us to work that way. You designed us to work in closeness. So Lord God, I ask today that where we've become distant, will you show us that? Will you help us to see that? For some, it might be here today just recommitting your life to Christ. For some, it might be feeding yourself through devotions. For some, it might just be spending time being in the presence of the Lord. Whatever it is that the Lord is showing you, he knows how to locate you. And he knows how to speak to you so that you can hear him. And when you do, you take that and you cherish that and you walk in that. And you allow his love to lead you. So Father, I ask that you would seal in our hearts that understanding. And I just want to offer this. Are you here today? And you need to make that declaration. You need to make that commitment. You need to take that step and say, I've gotten away. I'm going to ask you to do something bold, and it's just simply this. If you're here today and the Lord's been speaking to your heart, and you know that's you, you need to make that recommitment. Now's your chance. Would you just slip your hand so I can agree in prayer with you? And you're saying, that's me. I've gotten distant. I've gotten away. I see your hand. God sees your heart. Today, as you make that decision, you walk again in such a closeness like you've never had before. I see your hand. God sees your heart. And today, as you walk in that understanding of that relationship, know that he frees you from any of the chains that you've been carrying around. He designed you to walk in his freedom. Is there any other hearts today? You'd say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make that decision. I've gotten away. I see your hand. God sees your heart. Know today that he does a new thing in your life. You don't have to have it all figured out. He'll reveal it to you. And there's nothing that you can do that can ever disqualify his love for you, because his love is everlasting. Any other hearts here today, you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I agree with you. God sees your hand. He sees your heart. And as you make that decision, it's about a foundation. And as you build on a new foundation, you'll find that now even those storms do show up, whatever's built on that foundation can stand because it's his, not yours. Walk knowing that you can walk in that freedom and that liberty. Is there any other hearts here today? Wait for just a moment. Okay. All right. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you that you have spoken to us and that, Lord, you teach us to recalibrate. Lord, forgive us when we get stubborn at times. We're asking today that as we recalibrate our hearts, we know that your word says you will reveal yourself in a new and mighty way. So do that. We give you that. We ask you to do that in our hearts and in our lives today. And we just humbly present ourselves. And I want to say this just in closing. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you and the pastor just gave the challenge and you didn't respond, you didn't miss anything, okay? You can respond to him tonight. You can respond to him right now. But for some reason, I just feel like there might be just a couple who said, I missed it. You didn't miss anything. You didn't miss anything. That's his love. You call out to him, and he will respond. So Jesus, we thank you for that. We love you, and we ask this all in your name. Amen.